are listening to the Forza Podcast with your host, Marsh.
What up, Canes fans? It is the Forza Podcast. We are back after a little hiatus, little off-season hiatus. It's Monday, March 8th. Jordan is back from Hawaii.
Yep.
Jordan, aloha.
Aloha.
Hawaii roller coaster ride.
It was, I can't believe I had totally forgotten about that song until you just said, is that from Lilo and Stitch?
Yeah, man, I play it like twice a day, probably. I love that song. I play it in the shower every day.
Yeah.
It makes me happy. It's a happy song.
Yeah. Dude, like people won't, you know, people that aren't LDS and didn't go on Mormon missions won't really appreciate it. But like there is no love for Disney songs like when you deprive yourself of all other forms of music and entertainment.
That is so true.
Dude, I remember like driving around as a missionary listening to the Tarzan soundtrack by Phil Collins, and it went so hard.
That slaps.
It really did.
Dude, that goes crazy. Okay, but it was a good trip though, yeah?
Oh, it was incredible. It was incredible, man. Like the weather was beautiful. I living in Salt Lake, I love going on vacation to warm weather the last week of February, because it feels like you leave winter and come back to spring. So, I mean, that kind of happened. It's 65 degrees today here in Salt Lake. So the weather in Hawaii was perfect. The food is delicious. I love Hawaiian food. And yeah, dude, it was cool just like hanging out with my wife, you know, just me and her and the like independence, you know, like it felt cool being able to treat me and her to like a somewhat luxurious vacation, like paying for it myself, you know. It was pretty cool. Felt like a man.
That is awesome. Meanwhile, I'm here just I'm eating Chipotle every day and just getting fatter by the second.
I probably gained 10 pounds on that trip, honestly. I ate so bad.
Bro, so we have family in from Utah, and this past weekend, I probably gained 10 pounds, whether it be in pastries or beer. It was so bad. But yes, we are back, and it's not football season, but spring ball starts this Saturday, and so this week we're gonna preview the offense today. We're gonna come back later this week and talk about the defense. But yeah, man, we finally get some football again. It feels like it's been a year since the Oklahoma State game. It feels like it's been 5 years since the UNC game. Speaking of the UNC game, did you see Duck going at it with DJ Dallas today?
Yes, I did. I did. And dude, Duck's wild. To be fair to him though, DJ jumped in his mentions first.
Yeah, that was surprising.
Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. I love both. So
yeah, I love them both. But yeah, just some news before we jump into everything. Looks like Cody Brown is going to, I mean, he got the crystal ball to Miami. I think it was two nights ago or last night. For those of you guys don't know, he's from Georgia. Yeah, he's from Georgia. And he was committed to Tennessee, but then was released from his national letter of intent. I really like him. You know, I talked to Cole Perry, Endo Gaines a lot, and he liked him better than he liked Thad Franklin. So
interesting.
Well, and I think it's going to be perfect if we do get Cody, because, you know, Robert Burns is gone. And so, you know, it's kind of and also that means kind of we don't really need to take a running back in this recruiting class.
Yep.
So it's kind of good.
Yeah, I did think that was pretty interesting. You know, we're really loading up on backs right now. And, you know, I guess if Brown and or Franklin are coming in, like one of them can redshirt, that would be really great.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's what's going to happen, because you got Cam Harris, and then you got Jalen Nye and Don Cheney, who are going to be expected to take on a bigger role. Some other recruiting news. We've had a bunch of crystal balls to Miami lately. Ja'Kari Brown. Did you see that?
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah. So he is a guy out of Valdosta who was going to be thought of as a Gators lock. Brian Johnson has left to go to the Philadelphia Eagles, and that has kind of opened up the door for Miami to make a push. And he is announcing on March 26th. And yeah. So you guys know how much fun our shows are after someone commits.
I know, right? Isn't he visiting the Canes like that weekend as well? Like the weekend right before?
I think he's either visiting this weekend or next weekend.
Okay.
So yeah, he is the number 5 dual quarterback in the country. I've done articles on him. He is a baller. Yeah. I think he's a really, really good football player. He's going to be a project though. He's got to work on the arm a little bit, but yeah.
Is there any comps that you have for him? Cause I haven't watched him much. I mean, I've watched like very basic stuff, but you probably know him better than I do.
That's a good question. I mean, he's a big guy. He's 6'4", 205. Wow. And I mean, I think Andrew Ivan said like Cam Newton.
Interesting. Well, I'll take it.
He'll probably have to gain some weight to be on Cam's level, but that's a very far, comparison. Yeah. That's just off the top of my head from listening to him. That's a good thing. We have a few other guys who got the crystal ball. Go ahead.
You have to think at the very least, coming into our strength and conditioning program, you have to think that he can get up to 230 at least. And a 6'4", 230-pound quarterback that's mobile, that's pretty crazy, man. Like, that is getting into that Cam Newton territory.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And then I guess the last piece of news before we get into this offense is Avante Williams, man.
That's huge. That's really
that
huge.
Is. I mean, we. I mean, you and I were both. I mean, everyone is really big on him. And we thought that last year he was going to contribute heavily as a true freshman. But obviously the injury, he was out for his freshman season. And a lot of people were saying that that he wasn't. That his football career might be over. I mean, there was a possibility of that, and so that was kind of scary. Obviously,
that was kind of consensus, man. I mean, it was like it's one of those rumors, it's not something that I would like say without knowing, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I have not talked to a single person since Avante Williams' injury that thought that he would play football ever again. So I was very shocked, and I'm pumped for him, and I'm also pumped for our football team.
Absolutely. And I don't know, have you heard if he's going to stick at safety? Because I heard he may play some cornerback.
We could sure use him at corner, but I haven't heard anything in that regard. But, I mean, he's the type of talent where you could put him anywhere, and then we should get to position changes. They've all been on defense, but do you remember what they were? I know Jalen Harrell went to corner.
Striker. And so I think it's striker. I'll be honest, I haven't been as up there keeping up. I know Avery Huff is moving to striker.
So I'm pretty sure that Harrell was going to corner because people were surprised because they thought he was going to striker. But then they moved Huff to striker and Harrell to corner. I'm pretty sure.
Okay. Okay. So, yeah. That honestly surprises me that Huff is moving to striker, but because I think that Huff is the kind of build that you want to have at linebacker moving forward. Yeah. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll see if he can beat out Keontra.
I mean, here's my concern is like, why we have so much talent at striker right now with Avery Huff, Keontra Smith, Gilbert Frierson. But not a lot of talent at linebacker. So like, that's surprising to me.
Exactly. Not a lot of talent at linebacker. Linebacker is very scary.
Yeah. It's like our three deep at striker, all those dudes are better than probably any linebacker we have on the roster right now.
Absolutely. Yeah. Okay. So other than that, what do you say we go down this offensive depth chart? Before we get into that, has our guest said anything?
By chance? Not quite yet. I mean, he said 8 minutes ago that he needed 10 minutes. So I don't know. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. It's kind of a crazy time right now in life. And, just... Still getting, I'm still getting used to Florida, man. I'll be completely honest. But it's been good. My we have my dad's brother's coming into town this next weekend, and then my brother, who lives in Mississippi, is coming into town this weekend. So I'm sure that'll be a fun, rowdy time. Nice, but yeah, it's good. I really miss football. I'm excited for baseball season. I'm gaining, I just feel like I'm getting fat and just getting significantly like less attractive. And I wasn't, and I was like a two to begin. So, I don't do like it. You need to come down here, bro, because the food here is so good.
Really?
It's so good.
Dang it. I want to know.
But I'll be honest, I really, really miss Utah. I miss my friends. I'll be down there in June, so that'll be fun.
Yeah. It's weird, man. Like, I think for some reason, like, there's something so comfortable about, like, air quotes, home. You know what I mean? Like, I spent 10 days in Hawaii, which Hawaii is an incredible place, right? There's a reason why, like, their economy is based on tourism, right? It's because it's beautiful there. But then I come back to Utah and it's like, it just feels right. You know, I was so excited to be back, even though I was in paradise.
No, I get that, man. Like, I like being comfortable. I like knowing where things are. I like just having my friends around, and I have friends here, but, I don't know. It's just different, you know?
Yeah.
It's, and I'd lived in Utah for a long time. And so,
yeah,
I don't know. I just got to – hopefully I get to stay here for a little bit and keep building. But we'll see what the future holds, man. I'm excited about the next few months. And my younger brother, my mom's going back to Utah at the end of this month. So
okay,
lonely marsh, man, lonely marsh.
Are they moving back here or just hanging out for a while?
So my mom is going to go back there for a few months, then come back here in the fall. So it's not a bad life.
She's gonna start the snowbird life then.
Yeah, starting it a few years early.
Hey, good for her, man. You know, like that's lifestyle goals right there. So I'm happy for your mom that she gets to do that.
It really is. And then you know, the Heat are playing a lot better in basketball.
They are.
I don't know how we beat you guys. I don't know how.
Yeah, well, the Jazz have looked gassed for probably the last 2 weeks. And I'm not trying to take away from the Heat, right?
Because no, you're good.
The Heat are one of the rosters, like the Heat have the type of rotation that makes things difficult for the Jazz, and that they have a lot of lengthy wing defenders. And then, you know, watching the game, obviously, there was just – we had no answer for Jimmy Butler on defense. So, like, the Heat are a tough matchup for us anyways, but we really had a rough, like, last 2 weeks heading into the All-Star break. Everybody looked gassed. I mean, Rudy Gobert didn't even look like he was jumping for rebounds for the last three games. You know, it was like, and he's still getting, like, 10 a game because he's a giant, but...
Bro, you know, those refs screwed you guys against the Sixers, I will say.
That made me so mad. That made
Holy cow. Dude, but, and honestly, like, and I hated that Donnie and Rudy, like, were the last two picks. I hated that. I hated that.
Dude, I just hope that the Jazz go, like, full heel at this point. You know, like, they just decide to be the villains and be the bad guys this year in the NBA.
Bro, nothing would bring me more joy for, like, the Jazz and the Lakers to meet in the Western Conference Finals and the Jazz just wipe the floor with them.
Dude, I will tell you what. I know that this is unlikely because, you know, I might be the, you know, one of the bigger Jazz fans on the planet, but I'm also a very realistic NBA fan, right? In that I know it's unlikely for us to get to the finals, to get past the Lakers or even win, you know, win the championship. But if Rudy Gobert wins the finals as the best player on a championship team, like, it will be a year-long party that I will not remember for me. I with the smack talk. Could you imagine the smack talk that'll be coming from my Twitter feed?
Bro, I would be so happy for you and all my friends who are Jazz fans. And, like, if the Heat don't win, I would love for the Jazz to win. That would make me so happy.
Yeah, you know, I think the Heat are, you know, I never got off the Heat bandwagon, even when they were struggling. You know, I kept saying, like, you know, if the Heat can pull it together and make the playoffs, they're going to be really tough. In fact, I said that, like, a 1-8 matchup, I mean, the Heat will finish better than 8 at this point because they got it back together. But if there was a 1-8 matchup of Philadelphia versus Miami, I would have been very tempted to put money on Miami as the 8 seed. You know, and I've been saying that for a little bit. So I think you guys will be fine. You know, I right now I have you guys power ranked as the second best team in the East, in terms of your ability to get to and win the finals.
I'll take it.
And probably, like, I don't know, in that 5-7 range overall in the NBA. So I think that's pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad. That's not bad at all.
So Steph is ready for us.
Let's do it.
Cool. What's up, Steph?
Hello, hello.
Steph!
Hey, what's going on?
What's going on, brother? How you been?
Oh, say that again?
How you been, man?
Hanging in there, man. Just getting used to life out here in Houston. It's a little bit of a different pace.
Yeah, man. Is it a little bit slower than Miami?
You know what? It's a little slower as far as things going on, but there's a lot of hustle and bustle with the amount of folks out here. I mean, you're talking about a 10 million amount in the Houston area. So there's a lot of people doing stuff out here.
Houston is too big. Will you agree?
It's huge. I mean, we were looking in areas for places to live, and it's like, oh, we want to live in this area. We get out here, it's an hour away, and it's still considered Houston. So it's intense.
Okay, good. Oh, that's good that you guys are doing good, though. Okay, so spring practice starts on Saturday, thank God. Yes. We got football back a little bit, kind of. But today we are going to preview the Canes offense and the depth chart. Going into, I'll ask both of you guys, going into year two of Rhett Lashley, Steph, I'll start with you. What are your expectations? What do you want to see differently for Rhett Lashley's offense during his second season at Miami?
I mean, you need to see that progression as far as consistency. I believe when you have young players that are working with new individuals, they have to get used to them. They have to understand what's expected, and they have to put that into play. Well, the second year, expectations have been there for almost a year and a half. There should be a lot less sloppy play. Offensive line should be improved. The running backs will be a year older, so you won't have two freshmen back there contributing. You'll have two sophomores and a senior, so you want to make sure that backfield is clean. And then, most importantly, the wide receivers need to be figured out. And I think something that Lycan said, he has 6 players now instead of, what, 3 last year that he felt comfortable in a rotation. So we want to see that maturity level and those expectations met this year.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Jordan, what about you?
Dude, I don't know. I'm just hoping that we can keep the train rolling, man. Like, you know, we did make some progress last season, but I don't know. I didn't really feel like I know that this is like a controversial take that not everyone agreed with me, but to me, I just felt like we weren't competitive against good teams. And you know, it is a step in the right direction that we're beating teams that we should beat. But I feel like, you know, the difference between us and the top dogs is still pretty big if we're struggling to compete against anyone that is worth their salt. So you know, I really believe in the coaching staff for this year. You know, I'm really hoping that, you know, because there's measurable progress, right? And so I'm just hoping that they can push it forward, that they can make more of a you know, a noticeable progression, and you know, maybe we'll make Alabama sweat a little bit is what I'm hoping for.
Yeah, maybe.
We're not going to, but I hope.
Okay. So, like, for me, we are a huge supporter of Rhett Lashley in this podcast. But obviously, you know, we made some progress, but we need to see more consistency. I mean, 19 points against Virginia was not pretty. Even the 31 points against Pitt, I feel like that wasn't as pretty as it could have been. And then obviously, like UNC, yes, the defense was god awful. But, I mean, the offense has to, you know, at least do their part to make it a little bit more competitive. And hopefully De'Aaron King is healthy enough throughout the season. So let's start off with the quarterbacks. Obviously, Derek King will not be there. We got Jake Garcia, the true freshman, the golden boy, my child. We have Peyton Mataka, and then Tyler Van Dyke, who I think is probably the popular choice to be QB1 throughout the spring. So, Steph, I'll start off with you. What are you looking to see from the quarterbacks this spring? Because I know it's a young group, but you never know what, you know, if King is going to get hurt, you know, at some point this season. And so, you know, who are you most excited to see? And, yeah, just talk about the QBs.
I'll tell you what, man. We need to see, at least from the young guy, Jake Garcia, we need to see him be able to, you know, just be a college student. I think what we saw from him with the two schools he was with in Georgia is that he's a quick study. The guy went cross country. Within a month's time, he's starting for a new team. And then with another month's time, he's starting for another team. And you're talking about two playbooks that he basically has to understand and do his best with. And I think he did more than his best. He won a championship, right? So yep. The kid knows how to transition. We want to see that on a higher level at a bigger scale. I mean, there's not too many expectations with Jake. I know he's also coming off a small, nothing to worry about injury, but we want to make sure that he's healthy. He understands the playbook to an extent, and he has that comfort level with his teammates. Now, when you jump over that, Peyton Mataka, you want to see his development. He's from the Houston area, from St. Thomas here in Houston. So he's a guy that we don't have many expectations around because we have King. We have Van Dyke in front of him. But at the same time, you want to see him still improve because, to your point, if God forbid King has issues in his recovery time or Van Dyke has an injury and Matoka's the guy, you want to feel comfortable there. That's not a huge thing that we have to focus on, but something to take note on. Now, the main ingredient, the main entree here is Van Dyke. He's a guy that at least the fans have had a huge respect for because we do know what we're getting with him. We do know that he has the work ethic that matches King's to an extent at his level. Great maturity level, and we want to see that translate to the field now. We don't want to just hear about the stories in the weight room, the stories in the film room, that, oh, he's a great, great kid, great leader, things of that. We want to see that translate. We want to see his knowledge on the field. We want to be able to feel comfortable with him stewarding this offense while King is out, making sure the receivers are involved and they're progressing, even though they don't have their main signal caller.
Well, I think I love Van Dyke, man. I've been very excited about him ever since he, you know, committed to Miami and, you know, he never wavered, anything like that. I think he is I hate the term game manager, but I think that he is that, but in the best sense. You know, he doesn't have the maybe scrambling ability of a D.R. King or the mobility or anything like that, but I think his presence on the field is very commanding at the quarterback position. I think we're going to see a sense of comfortability, maybe not at the first start because, you know, this is going to be really his first spring practice because, you know, they started off last year and only got a week in. But I think we're going to see a little bit of rustiness. I'm not expecting Jake to come out there and just start, you know, owning everybody. I think we're going to see him struggle a little bit, you know, in the spring practice. But at the end, I definitely want to see, you know, increased confidence in all three of these guys because, like we're saying, you never know what's going to happen with De'Aaron King. God forbid if he goes down at some point in the season. You know, Van Dyke is probably going to be that guy that may need to lead us to a few wins. But Jordan, do you have any more thoughts about the quarterbacks?
Yeah. So I like the point that Stefan made about Peyton Mataka. And, you know, while he was talking, I just kept thinking of Malik Rozier and the fact that, you know, we brought him in along with Brad Kaya. I don't think anybody ever thought that Malik would actually be our starting QB ever. But he ended up giving us our best season in well over a decade, you know, so I just thought that was interesting, right? It is good for all of these guys to be ready and be prepared. So I did like that point. And then just with Tyler Van Dyke, man, like one of the things that I really have a hard time with, and I think it's Miami as a program because we've done it under all coaches. So I don't want to like throw any singular coach under the bus. But we have a hard time getting our young guys playing time in cupcake games. You know, like Tyler Van Dyke should be the starter against Central Connecticut. And De'Aaron King really shouldn't even play that game. There's no reason for him to play that game. It should be Tyler Van Dyke starting and playing at least the whole first half, you know, and then you could even get Jake Garcia reps in the second half. Like, you know what I mean? Those are, we schedule those games, but I feel like we don't utilize them. Whereas if you look at schools like Florida, for example, if you remember, you know, they got Tim Tebow tons of snaps when Chris Leak was still there. And so there was much more of a seamless transition, you know, when that handoff happened and then Tebow became the starter. And then also I can't remember the name of their backup QB. He's going to start this year.
Emory Jones.
But I mean, how much did he play last year when they had, you know, a Heisman finalist in Kyle Trask on the field? Like, Emory Jones got way more snaps than, you know, our backup quarterback did. So yeah. I just think that we really need to take that into consideration this year. This is the last year that De'Aaron King can play. And nobody behind him has any experience. I don't think there's a single college football snap of experience behind De'Aaron King. So I really think it's in the best interest of the program if Tyler Van Dyke, you know, gets upwards of 50 to 100 snaps this year, if okay. not more. You know, yeah. like, let's like, Rhett Lashley should make it a priority to get Tyler Van Dyke 150 snaps this year.
All right. Okay. Okay, well, so my last question about the quarterbacks, who do you guys think is the number? So I think we're all in agreement that TVD is going to be the QB1, quote-unquote, at the end of spring till King gets back. Who do you think, Matoka or Garcia is number two?
I'm going to go with – I don't know, man. I'm going to go with by the end of the year, it's Garcia. I think it'll start as Matoka, and then by the end of the year, Garcia will have it.
Okay. Steph?
I like that as well. And the progression that you detailed, that Matoka starts as the third guy, and then it's Garcia. I go with that as well.
Okay. All right. I'm actually going to say Jake is at the end of spring practice. I think he's going to be behind Van Dyke. But I think him and – I think Matoka's – He has good mobility, man. I think he could be a threat in this offense. But let's move to running back. Cam Harris is back. Robert Burns is gone, but Don Chaney Jr. and Jalen Knighton coming back for their second season. I'm very, very excited to see this group. And Thad Franklin is not on campus right now. Steph, is he on campus?
He's not on campus yet. He's a summer enrollee.
Okay. Cool. Okay, so it's really just these three guys. I know.
Wait, okay. Can I interject real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
So with Cody Brown most likely coming, is there any chance that Thad Franklin doesn't come now? I know that there was, I'm not going to say it was substantiated Twitter mumblings, but there was some Twitter mumblings about that being a potential thing. Is that a thing, or is that unsubstantiated?
Steph, do you have any opinions on that?
There's definitely rumblings. And if we're going by his precedence, then there can be some saltiness on his side. But okay. I ultimately do think he comes because you're going to have some graduation this year. There's a good chance that, I mean, one of the two running backs that we have this year decides to go pro after next season, after a 2022 season. Because I'll say it right now, I think our guy Chaney is an NFL back 100% through and through.
Agreed.
Yeah.
He's a man child. So I can see him leaving after his junior season.
Okay.
So there's going to be room. There'll be space. And this cycle, there aren't many running backs. So it's not like there will be that many guys on his back.
Yeah. And I just want to reiterate for the listeners that was unsubstantiated, though, right, Steph? like that's not a legit thing. That's just kind of – that's whispers, right,
It's all tea leaves.
Okay, yeah. So don't quote us on that one.
Yeah. Yeah, Thad's an interesting guy. I mean, cuz he decommitted and then he recommitted, and then there was thoughts that he was going to flip to Florida State or something like that, but I don't know, man. I do think Cody Brown's an outstanding talent. I think Thad's a really good talent too. So, I think it'll be a good competition. Running back is it's an interesting position because I think a lot of people, especially towards the end of the season, saw that Don Chaney really became the featured back in Miami's offense, or at least the most consistent back. Cam Harris obviously was really productive through the first three games of last year, but kind of, I don't know if it was the defenses that just started to figure out Miami's offense, but it just wasn't the same Cam Harris that we saw early on in the season. Jordan, I'll start off with you. Who, as of right now, who do you think is running back one for Miami?
Well, let's define it. Are we talking the guy that gets the starts, or are we going to say the guy that will end up with the most yards and carries?
Because
I have different answers for those.
I'm saying at the end of spring practice, who do you think is running back one, like on the depth chart?
You know, we have a penchant for seniority and favoritism, so I really wouldn't be surprised if Cam Harris is getting he gets the first snap of the season and therefore is the starter. That wouldn't surprise me at all. However, I think this is a Don Chaney breakout year, and I think for all intents and purposes, he will be our primary running back for most of the year.
Okay. What are your Steph? I think we're all in agreement that Don Chaney is going to take a big leap year two. What kind of progress do you think we see Jalen Knighton make?
I think Jalen Knighton becomes that. He becomes that safety valve in the passing game. Don't get me wrong. He has the ability to run between the tackles and be that running back. But I think he'll take on the half of the running back duties that Duke Johnson kind of had. Where, and not saying that he will have that type of productivity, but what I'm saying is he'll be that safety valve from the running back room that when King has an issue or if he needs to look left or right, he's going to find Knighton in a flat, or he's going to find Knighton on a wheel.
Yeah, I'm such a big Knighton fan. We saw flashes of that explosiveness last year. I mean, the Louisville game where he had that long touchdown pass. So I guess, you know, that adds to your point that he can be that kind of threat in the string game or whatever. So I think that him and Chaney, because this is hard, because when Cam wants to be good, like when Cam is good, he is really, really effective at running the ball. Steph, who do you think is running back one at the end of spring?
Geez, that's a tough one. It really is, because Cam is a very good running back. I mean, I don't want anyone to assume that he's not a good running back, because he's excellent. I think he does a lot of things well, but he's not excellent at one thing. I feel like Chaney is just, he is excellent at just playing the running back position. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, when you look at Chaney, there's nothing about his game that says, you know what? He is completely lacking in this one area.
Yeah.
Across the board, he hits every single check mark. Like he's amazing across the board. And I love Cam, and I think it'll be more of a compliment. I mean, we all have the idea that this staff does like to play its older players, and there's benefit to that as well. So we will see some kind of balance there. But I mean, if you're talking about starts, it's going to be Cam. If you're talking about production, it's going to be Chaney.
I like that. I think that's fair. Cam.
I was a big Cam Harris believer at the beginning of last season. You know, there was at one point where I was floating the idea of him running for 1,000 yards being possible, and obviously that was not one of my stronger takes of the off season. But this year I just feel different about it, man. I think it was. And you know, I don't want it to sound like I'm going too hard, like, in on Cam personally, right? Because there could be stuff going on behind the scenes that we have no idea about, you know, whether it's family life, personal life, mental health, you know, all that kind of stuff. Like, I'm not trying to speak towards any of that. But what I am saying is, like, it kind of, it raised concern for me the way that he handled how the season progressed. You know, Don Chaney came on really strong, and I felt like I just didn't love how Cam Harris responded to that. I felt like he just kind of faded to the background and was, like, upset about it without doing much to really clamp down on his starting job.
No, I think that's fair.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm not trying to speak towards his character with that, but all I'm saying is, like, you know, if we're viewing we're analysts, right, for football, so if we're viewing this stuff as commodity type stuff, I'd be selling my Cam Harris stock right now.
Oh, okay. All right. Yeah. With the stock market fad, I like that.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. I'm saying at the end of spring, the depth chart reads Cam Harris, Don Chaney, Jalen Nyan. But I think that is, but all three are going to get like more than enough playing time. Yeah. Would you guys agree?
Yes.
I agree with that for sure. I mean, okay. And I'll probably lose all my credibility by saying this. And I don't want it to be taken one for one here, but this does remind me slightly of the Georgia trio in the mid-2000s when they had Chubb, Gurley, and Michelle on the same team.
Okay.
Now, I'm not saying any of our backs are at that level because we'll always say, hey, what they did in the NFL means that they're this great. So we just have college players at this moment. But I do see it kind of breaking out that way where one guy will be that clear production horse. And then you're going to have your – I think Cam's going to be in the middle where he'll take on that intermediate role. And then you'll see Knight in that Michelle role where he comes in when he's needed, more in the passing game. But I do hope that our ceiling is that Georgia trio.
Yeah. Well, I like that. I, you know, and I agree with what you're saying, and I know that you're saying this as well. But, you know, I agree with you. I think we can be like the Nordstrom Rack version of that trio. You know,
like, yes.
That was good. Yeah.
That's perfect. That's perfect.
Yeah. It's there. You know, we're not the Lexus. We're the Toyota Camry version of that.
Hey.
But you know what? You can get some nice clothes at Nordstrom Rack.
That's right.
That's where I shop, bro. Come on now. Okay. All right. Now moving to the most frustrating position group on the entire damn team. The wide receivers. I don't know where to begin. Last year, obviously, I mean, Jordan and I were all aboard the D. Wiggins train. That fell about 800 yards short.
That was my absolute worst take last year.
That was bad for us. That was bad. Mark Pope, again, did not live up to expectations. Mike Harley started to turn it on at the end or at the midway through the season. And he actually, you know, he finished with a, you know, a really good stat line, in my opinion. He was clutch, especially in the NC State game. We added Charleston Rambo. We have other guys like Keyshawn Smith, Xavier Restrepo that are second year guys now. The wide receivers make me so angry. I'm hoping and I'm praying that one, that the younger guys get more chance to play, and second, that we see the older guys start to mature in their final year with Rob Likens. Steph, who is the wide receiver that you are most looking forward to watch in the spring?
I mean, I'm mostly looking to see Michael Redding the third. I mean, he's been my guy. He's my Jake Garcia. Like, whenever I see Michael Redding's name, like, my brain just lights up. I want to see him take on that elite role that we're looking for in that big-bodied receiver that has pretty much everything across the board that you can put across from your Mike Harley or your Mike Pope on the other side and just let him go to work. Throw the ball up and let him do his thing because he has that ability. He has what, that 41-inch vert? He's got 4-5 speed. The guy's maybe 210 right now, 6'2". He's a huge receiver, and he has all the traits. So I want to see what he can do, and then I want to see Mike Harley just be consistent, be what he was last year. I think a lot of times when you see a player do well, you expect the same thing the next year, but that's not the case with Miami. A lot of times we'll have fall off. So I want to see him maintain what he did last year and continue being the leader in that room.
Okay, now, but when it comes to D. Wiggins and Mark Pope, what are your thoughts?
Extreme frustration because, I mean, I wrote an article for State of the U last year where I said who's going to be the top dog in the room, and I charted everybody down. I actually had Pope fifth behind Redding, Peyton, Harley, but then I had D. Wiggins first because Wiggins in his sophomore year gave us so many indicators that he was going to take over the room. I mean, what we saw him do in the big games, even though in 2019 there weren't that many big games, but when there were, he was the guy. And he was the guy that was making the big plays. He was catching the ball. And we felt comfortable with him in that slot. And then last year happens, and he just kind of blended into the background. And so those two are really, really frustrating. Pope is more so the confidence guy, right? He has shown, at least last year, that he can do it. He had a good, solid second, third receiver year where he didn't have to be the number one guy, but he did his thing. And he had two games in the middle against VTech and I want to say NC State where he really balled out. He did excellent. But then his confidence drops off. He has a couple drops. And then he just kind of disappears for the rest of the season. And I think if he can feel comfortable and be Noodle, that everyone wants to call him, be that guy that just has the confidence, has the ability to get off the line and make things happen, then the sky's the limit. He has all the talent. He just has to be confident.
Well, I mean, it's his last year to do it, so it's now or never, man. Jordan, I'm not even going to ask you about D. Wiggins and Mark Pope because I know how you and I, we've had it. I want to ask you, who's your one wide receiver that you think can surprise some people in the spring?
Okay, so I first want to touch on Charleston Rambo. He's not going to be my answer just because, you know, he's new, right? So obviously he's the guy that everyone is interested in. I have very high expectations for Charleston Rambo. I actually think that there's a chance that him and Mike Harley could prove to be a dynamic duo for us at wide receiver. So I have those two slotted as my starters going into game one. And I really like both of them this year, man. I wasn't as high on Harley as I should have been last year. I was still kind of a doubter, and you know, but his season last year spoke for itself, right? He had a really great year. And now on to your question. I'm going to say Keyshawn Smith is my guy this year. I really like him, man. I like his attitude. I think he has all of the physical tools and just speed and height. So I agree with you, Steph, and that Michael Redding, I'm still a fan of. I'm a believer in him. But I would bet on Keyshawn Smith for this year.
Yeah.
Okay. Excellent. But they're both supremely talented. So, like, I'm not telling you you're wrong. I'm just, you know, that's just my feeling, my gut feeling right now.
No, that's so, fine. Sure. That's fine. I'm really excited to see Rambo too. I did a write up of him last week for State of the U. I've brought this up a few times. You know, heading into last year, Charleston Rambo was like in Todd McShay's first mock draft that he did for this upcoming draft. He had Charleston Rambo as a first round pick.
Yeah.
And then obviously he fell off during 2020. If he can get back, because I just don't think he is supposed to be a number one guy in the offense. I just don't think that fits him because, you know, he had CeeDee Lamb the year before at Oklahoma. But if he can get back to where he was in 2019, I think you're absolutely right, Jordan. Him and Harley could be a dynamic duo. So I think at one position I'm starting Charleston Rambo, then in the slot I'm starting Mike Harley. I'm really excited to see what Xavier Restrepo does, and also I love Keyshawn Smith and Michael Redding. That dude's just a beast. Yeah. He looks like a tank. And then Keyshawn Smith just has that track speed, you know, long strides and so good length. And do you start Mark Pope? Is he the one of the starting receivers after spring? What do you think, Steph?
I want to say yes, because He's been there. He's done it a little bit, but it's hard. We don't know what to expect with him, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I'm going to tentatively say no. I mean, I know I had a Hot Takes article that kind of said Pope could be the guy this year. It could do it this year, but I need to see it. I need to see results because Hot Takes are just Hot Takes, but they're not real,
right?
And I see Rambo kind of taking that second starting spot. He's basically what D. Wiggins is supposed to be.
Yeah.
Well, and you know, one guy who we haven't even mentioned, Jeremiah Payton.
Oh Lord.
Oh God.
Started there.
I'm kind of out on Payton right now. And that's not like a definite take. You know what I mean? Like I'm not giving up on the guy, but I pretty much cooled off on him almost totally.
Well, and it's the thing with him is this: he's the penultimate, like, Miami Hurricanes player.
Yeah,
he comes in with all the hype, big time receiver, high four star, and then we just throw all the expectations on top of him, all the hype, all the expectations got thrown on top of him, and then we have the crappy year, and we're like, you know what? It's the quarterback, it's the offense, he'll be fine next year, and then we get the quarterback, and we get the offense, and he's not fine, and then he gets injured, and COVID happened, and all these things ruined his junior season, and so now we're like, okay. Or his sophomore season, we're like, what do we have now? We don't know what Jeremiah Payton is or he's even supposed to be.
Yeah.
He is the most frustrating receiver that we have in our squad.
and that's saying something.
Yeah. And, you know, last season was wide open for him. And so really, like, I don't really have a lot of sympathy for any guys last year because it was wide open. You know what I mean? If there was a guy that had the talent and ability to take a starting spot or a rotation spot by the horns and own it, it was last year. And nobody rose to the challenge besides Mike Harley. So I think that speaks a lot towards the room. I mean, granted, you know, for freshmen, like, they had the excuse that they were freshmen, right? But for guys that were in the program for more than a year, there's not really a lot of excuses there.
No, there isn't. No, there is not. Steph, I know you were really big going into last year on Jeremiah Payton, if I remember correctly. But he's just been so – he's a green tree guy, man.
Yeah.
And green tree All-American.
I don't blame Steph, though, because, I mean, it was
– We all were.
Yeah, he was getting the Greg Rousseau treatment. I mean, we were all hearing it. We were all talking about it. And that people are saying, like, oh, wait till you see Jeremiah Payton. You know, he's a first-round body. You know, if I remember right, there were people throwing around, like, he could be the next Andre Johnson with his, you know, physical stature and stuff. Like,
you know what it was? The Amon Richards spirit that everyone saw and wanted back after his unfortunate situation with the team got transferred directly into Payton.
Yes.
All that energy went right into Payton because they're the same size, the same stature, the same pedigree. Everyone's like, you know what? It's going to be the same. He's got the dog mentality. We're good. And it just didn't happen.
Bro, if I hear the phrase dog mentality one more time, I'm going to lose my mind. And I love players that have the dog mentality, but I got to see it.
Dude, gets thrown around way too much. It gets thrown around.
It's only with Miami, I swear.
And you know, like, it gets thrown around way too much for a team that lost against North Carolina on the first drive of the game. You know what I mean? Like, if we had a team full of dogs, we would have lasted more than one drive.
I know a guy that reminds me about that every day, but we won't go into that.
I get it. I get what everyone says, but if you really boil it down to brass tacks, it's not all lies.
No, it's definitely not. It's definitely not. Okay, let's touch on tight end really quickly before going finishing up with the offensive line. I think Will Mallory's in primed for a big year, and I think Elijah Arroyo is going to end up at the end of spring as the number two tight end. Steph, any thoughts?
I'll tell you what, and I hate to keep pubbing that darn article I wrote, but the only thing I actually really felt confident about was that Will Mallory has an excellent chance at taking these tight end records for Miami. I mean, the guy is the only one in the room. I'm not spitting on Arroyo or Memorelli or Hodges, but it's like the situation where you had David Njoku and Herden. It's not like Mallory and Jordan of the past couple of years. It's Mallory and kind of everyone else, because Hodges didn't really step up when Jordan went down last year. Memorelli still has a lot of things to learn. And Arroyo is a rookie. I mean, or a freshman. So he's going to have those lumps. So Mallory's the guy. He'll be on the field 80% of the time. And I think, what's the record? I think 726 in yards for tight ends. I think that's very, very, very close range for him. The closest numbers we had for that was Njoku in 16, I think, for 698. I think Mallory's right there.
Okay.
The guy is – he's everything.
Yeah, he's, I, he's, I think Will Mallory is an absolute beast. I don't think people give him enough credit, and rightfully so. You know, we just haven't seen enough of him. But I think he put his drop issues from 2019 behind him. I think whenever he was targeted last year, he came up really big, like NC State game. And whenever Jordan went down, we just need to throw him the damn ball more. And I don't think it's too much to ask. Just get him 5 catches a game.
Yeah.
That's not that much to ask.
It's really not. You know, as you said, like, the stars have aligned for a huge breakout Will Mallory season. And really, you know, if we call the plays to get him the ball, it really just boils down to him at that point. And he hasn't been, you know, totally consistent. I agree that he had a really great year last year, and that's why I'm, you know, saying the stars have aligned. But, you know, it just comes down to him, in my opinion. You know, is he going to be a Green Tree All-Star this year, or is he going to be a, you know, All-ACC first team All-ACC tight end, which I think he's very capable of. I think he could be a first-round pick.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, I do too, man. I think he, like, if Brevin didn't have injury problems, he would have been a first round pick, in my opinion, or at least early second round. And, you know, I wrote an article probably a month ago that, you know, we just need to use the tight ends more, man. And I think Will Mallory is our best receiver, like pass catching receiver. I think he's the most dangerous. I think he's can be the most consistent, but it's up to, you know, us targeting him and then him just pulling it down.
He's huge, man. Like, in the red zone, he should get at least 1 to 2 plays called just for him every time we're in the red zone.
Yeah. 85 to the corner, man. 85 to the corner. That's what it is. Okay. Offensive line. We return everybody. Everybody. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it's Zion Nelson or a 12th-year senior in Jared Williams, who's going to be 33 this year. We are literally returning everybody. Steph, obviously we did not have a stellar offensive line last year, but it was better than 2019. Are you – because I was listening to the Orange Bowl boys a few days ago, and Roe was saying that this is a good ACC offensive line. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. The talent is there, especially the top end talent. I mean, I don't think any of us thought we were going to say this about 2 years ago, but we have a legitimate possible first round pick on this offensive line. Zion Nelson has completely changed his game. He's been committed to the process. And he's put on the weight that the kid's a left tackle through and through. And I don't think we thought we would have this after that Eno season that we had, but he's come through. Jared Williams is the senior on that line. Well, the redshirt senior, I should say. That guy is an excellent right tackle. He does a good job. He's not excellent, but he is serviceable. He does what we need him to do. And he has a comfort level with how Derek King kind of operates back there. So you don't have to worry about him being confused about what Derek King's going to do.
Okay.
And the middle of that line is great. I mean, the guards are big. Our center is intelligent, and I think we have a great line.
Well, so I 100% agree with you with Zion Nelson. I think Jared Williams is a very serviceable right tackle. You know, he's got that grown man strength now. I think Corey Gaynor is a solid center. My struggles come at the guards, especially DJ Scaife. I don't know what the hell happened last year, but he was not very good. Do you guys think that there is a possibility, Jordan, I'll ask you first and then Steph, you can answer. Do you think that it's possible that by the end of spring, we can see a guy like a Jalen Rivers or even Isaiah Walker? I know he plays tackle most of the time, but you know, he can play guard. Do you think that we can see some of these younger guys really challenge DJ or even Navon Donaldson for a starting position?
I do, and here's why. I'm kind of going to answer your last question as well here. I think pretty much anything's possible for this offensive line. I think Zion Nelson was really the only guy in my mind that gave me confidence going into this next season. I understand that we have a very experienced offensive line coming back, and you know, that is one of the biggest hurdles to overcome when you're trying to build a solid unit. However, I'm looking for the right balance right now and how to approach this from an analysis point of view. Because we were still 93rd in college football last year in sacks given up. Like, we weren't a good offensive line. And we had continuity from the year before, too. So, yes, we have experience, but we have a lot of guys that haven't produced at a high rate yet. So that's the thing. And that's kind of the problem that our team has as a whole. Is like, yeah, we have a lot of guys coming back, but we have a lot of guys coming back that haven't done much in their career. And so it really just boils down to, like, are people going to make a leap, or are we just going to be mediocre again? And, mm-hmm. you know, I think, like, that's kind of my theme for the entire roster overall. But I think this offensive line unit is the one that most exemplifies that, in the fact that, you know, yes, we do have like 9 guys returning or whatever, you know, pretty much the whole depth chart at offensive line. But it's like, how many of these guys am I confident in? You know, I really don't have a good answer for that, because like
I would say that Zion Nelson is a guy that I'm confident in now. Yeah. His 2019 season was rough, so I mean, any leap would have been a big leap. But he, you know, he turned out to be a really, you know, productive left tackle. I think Jared Williams is probably exactly the player that we all thought we were going to get. Steph, what do you think that there's any young offensive lineman that you think can really challenge for a starting spot?
I think Jalen Rivers for sure. He has the pedigree. He's got the size, and his footwork is excellent. I saw a short video kind of detailing him coming out of high school, and he has everything that you want as a tackle. Now, a lot of times when you see it in the NFL, the best guards are usually the average tackle coming out of college, and I think that's where Rivers will find his money spot. I think that left guard spot, well, this year he won't have that. He'd probably have the right guard spot, but he can be all ACC there, I think, 100%. I think he's an excellent player. I think Isaiah Walker is being lined up for that right tackle spot for when Williams is gone. I think that's his spot, basically drawn in blood. So I don't necessarily see him doing too much at guard. I think he still has some things to work out as far as off the field and in conditioning. But I think Rivers is the guy. I trust him 100%. And then when you talk about other guys that you can actually trust, Navon Donaldson. I mean,
yep.
when he's been on, he has been the best offensive lineman in ACC. I mean, that's not hyperbole. I totally believe that. I think that guy is legitimate. With that said, he's almost never healthy.
Yeah.
So that's your issue. I mean, yeah. we forget how good he was his freshman season. He was
really good his freshman. That's true.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and even last year, like when he came back for the Duke game, he was moving like 2-3 guys.
Yeah, he was very good against Duke as well.
And you have to remember, in that Duke game, he hadn't practiced for more than a week prior to that game, and he just came in and was just pushing guys around like it was nothing. Yeah. And that Duke line, even though we won 48-0, had NFL players on it. I cannot remember the defensive end's name on there, but I believe he ended up being all ACC. Am I wrong?
Yeah, I can't think of his name right now either. But yes, I know who you're talking about. Shoot, what's his name? Oh well, but yes, they did have an NFL end on there.
I think they had a pretty good defensive line, and we were able to run the ball on them very well. But I know that I'm just really excited to see. I'm not saying that he'll start, but I'm really excited to see what kind of player we get in Isaiah Walker, because there has been so much hype surrounding him ever since he came out of high school, went to UF, and now is at UM. I want to see, you know, how much the, you know, David Feely strength and conditioning program has paid off for him. He has incredible talent, man. And Jalen Rivers is another guy. He can be a dominant guard. He's a lot more mobile than people give him credit for. He can move for a big guy. What are your guys' thoughts? Do you think Ja'Kai Clark and John Campbell, any expectations for those guys?
No, I mean, I don't know, and I don't try to mean that in an insulting way, but it's like, it's kind of what I was saying about the wide receivers, man, is there has been so much opportunity for guys to step up and really take control of a spot on this offensive line. And, you know, I feel like, you know, Steph brought up some really good points about Navon Donaldson. All that is true. You know, also the injury concerns are true. But really, you know, as we've all said, I think Zion Nelson is really the only guy that stepped up to that challenge. You know, that saw the inconsistencies, the weakness on the offensive line, and like planted his flag in one of those spots. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess you could argue Corey Gaynor as well at center. But I don't know, man. It's hard for me to like really be excited about guys that haven't been able to take control of opportunities like that. And you know, like I'll give an easier out to freshmen, right? Because they're still trying to grow into having a man's body at this point. But for guys like Campbell and Clark that have just been in the program for 2-3 years now, like there's not an excuse, man. Like opportunity was there. If you're a big time player, you should have shown it when the opportunity was there.
I agree. And if there's any position that will show you out the door quickly, is offensive line. It's a position that's probably the most important one on the team, right? Your offense can't run if your offensive line isn't doing its job.
Yep.
And so if you can't take advantage of opportunities, they're going to try to find the right blend. I mean, and to your point, I love Jaquai Clark. I think he's a great teammate.
Mm-hmm.
He's just lacked the consistency. And maybe for him, maybe it's conditioning, maybe it's the playbook. I'm not sure what it is, but he just didn't have it. He didn't have that ability to kind of take the bull by the horn. You saw it to a point where Rivers kind of took some snaps from him. And John Campbell, I mean,
I know.
you guys know me, and I mean, I look at all these athletes and all these guys as men and as people, and I want the best for them. I want every one of them to succeed and be first round picks or get their doctorate or whoever it is. I want success for every player on this team. But Campbell just befuddles me to a point of frustration because he has the frame to be excellent. His size is excellent and his mobility is excellent. And it's just frustrating because I look at him and I'm like, what is missing? Why isn't it clicking together? And he's going to be one of those guys that becomes another Kylan Herbert or just another guy that just kind of falls to the wayside because he just didn't take care of his business.
Yeah. And oh, by the way, the Duke guy we were thinking of was Chris Rumpf.
Yes.
Yeah.
I wish you'd have known that.
He's a baller.
You know what? As soon as Mike Rumpf went to the recruiting department, we got the name Rumpf out of our minds. So that's probably why.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say when we were trying to think of it, I was like, I know he has the name of somebody related to the Canes, but like for some reason, Rousseau was stuck in my head and I knew that wasn't it. So but yeah, it was Chris Rumpf.
Okay. Well, that is the offense. Steph, any last thoughts on the Canes offense?
Canes offense? I mean, we need to trust Lashley. His second year with SMU was excellent. I mean, I think they jumped into the top 10. I know they went up at least 50 spots. So we're looking to at least go up 10 spots, at least get into that top 20. And I think with the players that we have and the depth that we have, there's going to be a lot of competition. There'll be a lot of iron sharpening iron, and I think we'll have a great year on offense.
All right. Okay. Well, hey, brother, thank you so much for taking the time out of your Monday to hop on with us. We always love when you come on the show, and hope you and the fam are doing well, man.
Yep, absolutely. And Steph, would you tell us the name of your article and just pump that a little bit before you take off?
Exactly. So that article that I've kind of spoke through here is on stateofview.com, 10 way too early hot takes for the 2021 season. There are a few things that'll, I'm sure, have people questioning why I'm even employed or working with the State of the U, but don't worry, I'm not crazy. They're meant to be hot takes. So please drop by State of the U as well. Check out my guy, Marshall Thomas. He does an excellent job with those articles. He pumps those things out like friggin' gangbusters. He's amazing. So kudos to him. check us out, and obviously check out Forza. These guys are amazing.
Cool. Hey, thank you, man. I appreciate it.
All righty, man. We will have you on the show soon enough.
Absolutely, guys. Anytime.
Hey, take care.
Take care.
Cool, man.
All righty. It feels good to be back.
It does. I know we always say that we need to get back in the routine, man. It's just, you know, I think life got crazy for us both at the same time. You know, like, I got married literally the same. Well, it was my wedding night that you posted on Twitter. I know because I was on Twitter. but you posted on Twitter that you got your radio show with Toast. So, you know, life has been a big adjustment for both of us. And, you know, that was not long after moving down to Florida for you. So, you know, it's hopefully we can figure out the right balance and get Forza up back on track in terms of, like, you know, an episode or two per week.
Absolutely. And you know, with spring practice going on for the next month or so, I hope to, you know, do this twice a week. And does that sound good?
Absolutely, dude. Cool. Absolutely.
All right.
You know, it was hard with just the season ended so bitterly too. You know,
I know.
You know, especially it especially got bad for me. Like, you know, when I was saying on here and on other mediums that we should cancel the UNC game, and then you know, first of all, people didn't like that take. They, you know, for whatever, they didn't think that was very manly or whatever. You know, I don't know. I guess that's a thing. You know. whatever, right? I've never really measured my masculinity by stuff like that, but whatever's, you know, and then when we got blown out, I feel like some people took their anger out on me because I didn't want to play the game anyways, you know, like, I don't know. So it just got bad at that point, dude. And then I was just like, oh, whatever.
You know, I mean, I was so frustrated at the end of this past season that, like, anything, just like talking about the Canes, I was just so negative.
Yep.
And I was so angry, and I just didn't want to, like, put that on consistently, honestly.
Well, I mean, there was not much to be positive about by the end of last year. Like, we made our problem was that the season started off with so much hype. It was very 2017, honestly. And it started off with so much hype, and then it just came crashing down in, like, a 4 or 5 week span. And then at the end, you're like, okay, well, look at how excited we got over, like, a regular progression. You know what I mean? Like, we thought we were having a breakout year, and it ended up just being, like, a baby step. And, like, that's hard. That's hard to palate.
It is. It is. Sports are hard.
Yeah, especially when it all comes crashing down in a very, like, quick span. You know what I mean?
When all hell breaks loose.
Yeah. Oh, I know. It would have been a lot easier, you know, say we made the Orange Bowl and, like, lost by 11 points to Texas A&M. I think we'd all feel way better about this year.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. So, and feel a lot better about Manny Diaz.
Yeah. It's, you know, Manny is back on the, I'm going to call it the warm seat for me. He's not on the hot seat. He's on a very warm seat.
Oh, he's on my hot seat.
Really? Okay.
Oh, yes, man. Oh, yes. But we will talk about the defense on Thursday. Yep. We'll get someone else on to talk some defense. We got T-Rob on defense. We got Manny Diaz back on defense. So hopefully we can be excited. We can be excited. Yeah. We're going to be here. We're going to be jolly. We're going to be dancing. Yeah. Got the turnover chain.
Well, how mad are the syndicated columnists or whatever? How mad are the columnists that our defensive coaching group is no longer a rap group? Right?
Oh, boy. Oh, God.
I know, right?
Oh, bless their hearts, man.
I know.
All right. Anything else?
Nope, that's all, man.
All right, we will see you guys again on Thursday. It's good to be back, and go Canes.
Go Canes, man.
This has been the Forza Podcast. Remember to like,